Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is Jay Jackson. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present One Way to Broadway. And one way to introduce our star tonight is to tell you he's a tall, lanky fellow from Pennsylvania who happens to be a top-flight actor, an Academy Award winner, and one of the most likable people you've ever met, Jimmy Stewart. Pleasure to have you on our Hallmark show, Jimmy.
Well, thank you, Jay. That's a great story you got for tonight.
Oh, tell me, when you first read it, did you have any idea how it would turn out?
No. That's what I like about these Hallmark stories. You never figure them out in advance.
Ah, but there's one thing you can always count on, Jimmy.
What's that?
Our asking a question about how to make certain of getting the finest greeting cards.
I'm all ready for you, Jay. You just turn the card over and look on the back for those three identifying words. A Hallmark card.
Good. And, of course, you know, those three identifying words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now, shall we take our audience behind scenes on Broadway, where there is no glamour, no glitter. Just hungry, hard-working people desperately hoping for that one-in-a-million chance for fame. Stephen Spotswood is one of those. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you his strange story on the Reader's Digest radio edition as you hear One Way to Broadway, starring Jimmy Stewart.
Better take it easy on these stairs, darling. We still got another flight to go, you know.
I'm dying to see our apartment, Steve.
Well, now, don't expect too much, Sally. You know, this isn't Schenectady. And for $37 a month, you don't get very much in a big city like New York, you know. Some apartments cost over $100.
$100 a month?
Without furniture.
Oh, Steve, I'm frightened of New York.
Oh, now, don't be silly, darling. It's just the same as any other place, that people just walk a little faster, that's all.
I know, but we've taken on so much. Getting married and coming to live in a big, strange city. Suppose things don't turn out the way...
Allie, did you marry me for my money or because you believed in me?
Because I believe in you, darling. You haven't got it.
Well, then what do we got to worry about? Don't you know I'm going to be a great playwright someday?
Some people write plays all their lives and never get one produced.
Well, not if they write a good one.
But, Steve...
Look, but Allie, I love you, darling.
Will that make you a great playwright, Steve?
How can it miss? How can it? Just wait and see.
Lee Grungy, Theatrical Productions. Mr. Harris? Just a moment, please.
Excuse me, miss. My name's Spotswood. Stephen Spotswood.
Sorry, no casting today.
Oh, look, I'm not an actor. Oh, no, I left a play in here about a month ago. I thought perhaps Mr. Grundy might have read it by now.
Does it have a name?
It's Half a League Onward.
By Stephen Spotswood?
That's right, yeah. I understand Mr. Grundy's looking for a play for Rita LaSalle.
Here you are, Mr. Spotswood. I have your manuscript right here.
Well, what do you think of it? I mean, wasn't there any comment?
No, Mr. Grundy doesn't criticize plays. He either buys them or he doesn't.
Oh, I see. This is one of the ones he didn't buy.
That's the general idea.
Yeah. Don't suppose he'd want to read it again, would he? No,
Once is enough, Mr. Spotswood.
It's once is enough, yeah. I was afraid of that.
Better luck next time.
Next time. Yeah, thanks. Better luck next time. Yeah. No, this is a new play, Miss Simmons. It's called The Last Straw. It has a green cover on it. I wondered if Mr. Grundy...
Here you are, Mr. Spotswood. Mr. Grundy is returning the manuscript.
Without any comment.
Sorry. Uh-huh. Better luck next time.
Yeah. Sally, it's just a question of time, honey. The third play I wrote was better than the first two, but all three of them were just warm-up for the one I'm writing now. This one is the one that's really going to sell, darling.
Hey, Mr. Spotswood. Mr. Grundy is returning the manuscript.
Grundy?
Huh?
I'm sorry to break into your office like this, but I just had to see you, Mr. Grundy.
What do you want? Who are you?
Well, I'm not much of anybody, I guess, but my name's Spotswood. Stephen Spotswood. I'm a playwright.
Look, Mr. Spotswood, I'm a very busy man. If you want to leave a manuscript with the girl outside...
No, I've done that, Mr. Grundy. I've left four of them there already.
And you never got them back?
Oh, I got them back, all right. That's why I came to see you. I thought you might tell me why you never bought one.
Well, I can't buy all the plays that come into this office, Mr. Spotswood. As a matter of fact, I buy about 1 in 100.
Well, I'd gladly write the other 96 if I thought I was on the right track, but I... I don't know. I don't know whether I'm getting better or worse. There doesn't seem to be any way of finding out.
Well, hold on a minute now. I'll look up your name in the file.
Oh, well, thanks very much. Thank you, sir.
Spotswood. Oh, Stephen Spotswood.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, well, let's see now. Half a League Onward.
That was my first play.
Uh-huh. Good basic idea, but no construction. Dialogue poor.
No, poor.
The Last Straw.
That was my second play.
Funny in spots, but no sustained interest. Hackneyed theme.
Oh, hackneyed, huh?
One Man's Poison.
I know, no suspense, too much dialogue.
No. Good first act, but no play after that.
Oh. But at least the first act was good, huh? I just shouldn't have handed in the other two. Huh?
No. You must be improving, Mr. Spotswood. Listen to this. Never Say Die. Exciting idea, fairly well written, but not commercial.
Well, you mean I've got a chance?
Well, I'd be the last person in the world to advise anybody about a career of playwriting. It's much too uncertain. But if you've got enough confidence, you'll keep on writing whether I advise you to or not.
Oh, I've got plenty of confidence, all right, Mr. Grundy, but my wife's just about ready to toss him the sponge.
I'm afraid that's your problem, Mr. Spotswood.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm afraid it is. Only trouble is I don't know what to do about it.
Any luck?
Well, not exactly, but things are looking a lot brighter than they were before. I saw Mr. Grundy today.
Just saw him?
Well, he didn't exactly offer me a contract or anything, but he did say I was improving. Well, you should have seen my card. I went from poor dialogue right up to uncommercial writing.
That's good, I suppose.
That's good. Well, I'll bet there are plenty of playwrights that give their eye teeth to be uncommercial. No kidding, honey. No, sir. It's just a question of time now.
How much time, Steve? A lifetime?
Oh, no, Ellie, now, come on. You're not going to cry, are you?
Oh, how do you expect me to feel? Skimping and saving all the time just to get by? Seeing you work at odd jobs in the afternoon and sitting up writing all night?
Oh, baby, it won't be like this forever. You know that. All playwrights have to struggle for a while. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any...
Any what?
Any struggling playwrights. We'll snap out of this, Ollie. I promise you we will. After all, Shakespeare wasn't built in a day.
I didn't marry Shakespeare.
Oh, well, when I hear you talk like that, I almost wish you had. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I didn't mean that. Ollie, please don't cry anymore. Oh, hey. I got a present for you.
What kind of a present?
Well, it's something you'll like, honey. It's something to cheer you up around the house. Come on over here, look. Look at it.
What is it?
It's a canary. Holy mackerel, it sings. Well, it sings, Ellie.
What did you expect? Did it go play a harmonica?
No, but you see, it actually makes notes. Yeah. The cheap ones aren't supposed to do that, you know. Gee, it sings for $5.
Steve, did you pay $5 for that canary?
for three.
And here you are walking around with frayed shirt sleeves and stuffed shoes and a patch in your pants. You spent $5 for that scrawny bird.
I spent it for you, Allie. I wanted you to feel good when you woke up in the morning.
Well, you've made me feel fine. $5 for a canary. We haven't had a decent roast in the house for almost a year. Couldn't you buy a chicken?
A chicken doesn't make you happy, darling. You just eat it once and then that's all over.
Well, I wish we could eat that canary. You shut up.
Come on, Allie. The bird doesn't know any better.
Well, neither do you know any better.
Well, now, honey, just calm down, will you? Now, this little guy here is going to make a big difference in our lives. He's going to sing when we wake up in the morning. He's going to make us laugh again. He's going to bring us luck.
Luck? We haven't got enough money to support him.
Oh. Well, bird seed doesn't cost very much.
Well, if you don't hurry up and sell a play, we'll all be eating it.
That's just it, baby. Lucky is going to make me write a commercial play, a happy play that sings the way he does. Aren't you lucky?
Oh, Steve.
I've got the idea for it right away. I've got the idea right now. A young married couple living on the top floor of a brownstone apartment. And they haven't got a dime. And he comes along one night with a canary instead of a chicken.
Steve, that's us.
Sure it's us. That's why it's good. The bird sings all day. And his songs cheer them up. Give them courage to go on and fight the world instead of each other.
Oh, Lord.
And well, it can't miss. I tell you, we'll be on Easy Street after I write this one.
Oh.
And Grundy will be crazy about it. And so will the critics. And I'll build you a house on Park Avenue. And we'll live happily ever after.
We'll present the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark Cards, America's favorite greeting cards. But first, I'd like to tell you about another young man whose improvements were only his stepping stones to perfection. Exactly 100 years ago this month, a child was born who was literally to leave great bronze and stone monuments to his skill. An unforgettable statue of Lincoln in Chicago, a heroic landmark of General Sherman in New York, a magnificent monument in Washington. Augustus St. Gaudens started at the age of 12 as an apprentice cameo cutter, learning to make almost microscopic carvings. He trained his hands to work delicately. He trained his eyes to see critically. And he trained his mind to accept only perfection. In creating the Shaw Memorial that stands as a landmark today in Boston, he modeled 40 figures before deciding on the 16 he finally used. For Augustus St. Gaudens had acquired the habit of taking infinite pains with details. Now the people who make Hallmark cards have that same sincere regard for their work. They, too, feel that a great deal of care and thought and understanding must go into something as warm and personal as a greeting card. You see, they're not making just cards. They're making Hallmark cards. Greeting cards that carry warmth and friendliness and affection. Cards that have a wonderful way of saying just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. That's why Hallmark cards are America's favorite greeting cards. Because those three identifying words on the back, a Hallmark card, tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best.